Collider says BritBox has TV everyone should be watching. Stream acclaimed series with powerful performances from Jodie Whittaker, Tamara Lawrence, Bella Ramsey, and Matthew McFadyen. Discover new BritBox original series you won't find anywhere else. Like Three Little Birds, Agatha Christie's Murder is Easy, and a new chapter of BAFTA-winning drama, Time. Stream what the New York Times calls the best of British telly, only on BritBox. Start a free trial at BritBox.com.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Welcome to Haunting History, the podcast that reaches back into the past for the events that still haunt us today. Tales of true crime, mystery, and the macabre. And when we're lucky, the stories where history and the people who lived it and the paranormal meet. Now, who doesn't love a good ghost story, right? Welcome back to Haunting History Podcast. I'm your host, Kat.
And I'm Haley.
Our topic today has haunted me my entire life. And I'm not kidding. My 11-year-old self used to lay in bed being terrified of the Bermuda Triangle. Have you ever thought about the Bermuda Triangle?
Yeah, I think everyone has.
Yeah, I think it's a thing.
Yeah.
Like a year ago, I saw something on social media where someone was like talking about nightmares or whatever. And I think 80% of them was a Bermuda Triangle, which is so weird because I don't even know if I knew where it was.
I have no idea where it is still.
Oh, you don't? I'm going to tell you.
The most recent thing I watched that mentioned the Bermuda Triangle was the missing Malaysia flight, that documentary on Netflix.
Yeah.
One of the theories is that they were near the Bermuda Triangle and yada yada.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't think I knew that. There's a Netflix special about the Bermuda Triangle. I guess it's several years old now.
Yeah, it's probably old.
But I didn't watch it. I didn't watch it, and I meant to watch it, and I just didn't have time, so I'm going to. But I didn't know how far it was from California, and it didn't even matter that I didn't know. I would lay in bed thinking, if there's a place in the ocean where people just vanish, couldn't that happen anywhere
in any ocean?
Yeah. I just remember I would lose sleep over it. I'd be laying in bed with this like terrified feeling that the Bermuda Triangle was gonna come get me. Like, it didn't even make sense. And I remember when I had first heard about it, I kept asking my dad all these questions about it. And I would be like, but what's happening to all these people? Like, and he got super annoyed and said, it's nowhere near us and the stories are bullshit.
And well, yeah, he would not believe it.
No, for sure. But like, to my brain, and it actually helps me now when I'm afraid of something and someone can just randomly say something and it takes the fear away and it doesn't, like, it can't even explain it. But I used to be terrified of earthquakes, and there was an article during, we lived in Yorba Linda at the time, and there was a swarm. Do you remember that? The swarm of earthquakes where we were having them like every day. And there was a guy that wrote in the Orange County Register in the newspaper about this Yorba Linda swarm of earthquakes. And I was reading his article, and I wrote back to him and asked him a question. I don't even remember what it was. Like, you could write to the writer of the article. And I wrote to him and asked him a question. I don't remember what I asked. But he wrote back, and he kind of gave me like this whole scientific thing. And in it, he said, when this is over, you'll see blah, 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 blah. And just that little fragment of what he said, when he might as well have bolded, when this is over, because it took my fear away. Because then I realized it will end eventually.
Yeah.
So the same thing happened with the Bermuda Triangle. I was like obsessed with it, and I couldn't sleep at night, and I was afraid of it. And my dad just added that last sentence saying, it's bullshit. It like took my fear away. Then I wasn't afraid of it anymore for whatever reason, that little tiny sentence. And which, by the way, I think bullshit was the strongest cuss word my dad ever said in front of me. But it helped me get over my fear. The Bermuda Triangle is an area in the North Atlantic Ocean notorious for unexplained disappearances. And I didn't realize until I started doing this story that there were over 70 ships and airplanes that disappeared from the Bermuda Triangle.
See, I would have assumed it was more.
Oh, more than 70?
With all the stories you hear and just how crazy it all seems, yeah, I would have
said. But there's more. So many people on these ships, right, and airplanes. It's roughly, no one can totally agree on the location of the Bermuda Triangle, but roughly it's bounded by Miami, Bermuda, and Puerto Rico. And approximations of the total range are between 500,000 square miles and 1.5 million square miles.
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot,
yeah,
of space. By all approximations, though, the region has a vaguely triangle shape. And it's called the Devil's Triangle, Bermuda Triangle. I never knew it was called the Devil's Triangle before. Mysteries in this region have been documented since the mid-19th century, with some vessels found deserted without any clear reason, and other disappearing without sending distress signals and never to be found again. There have been reports of aircraft vanishing as they flew over the area, and even search and rescue missions go missing during the searches. Despite extensive searches, debris from these disappearances often remain undiscovered, leading to a range of theories, some bordering on the supernatural, obviously the part that got to me. While supernatural explanations have captured the public's imagination, environmental and geophysical factors are more likely the cause. I don't know about that. One theory suggests navigational errors due to the misunderstanding of the agnotic line, where magnetic compass variations are null, leading to catastrophic outcomes. Another theory points to rogue waves. God, this terrifies me. Do you know what a rogue wave is? They're monstrous waves over 100 feet high, potentially capable of obliterating any trace of ships or planes, which that's another fear that keeps me awake at night, like tsunamis. Do you ever think about that?
Yeah.
So like this theory of rogue waves, like what the hell is that? Over 100 feet tall? Do you know how tall that is?
Tall.
Like, and it'll be like a normal wave, and then all of a sudden this rogue wave over 100 feet tall. The geographic location of the Bermuda Triangle is prone to storms converging from different directions, which could increase the likelihood of such waves. The U.S. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration has stated that there's no evidence to suggest that disappearances happen more frequently in the Bermuda Triangle than any other busy area in the ocean. Despite its ominous reputations, ships and planes continue to navigate through the triangle without incident. Is the mysterious force behind the Bermuda Triangle natural or supernatural? Let's take a look at all the disappearances. You ready?
Yes.
In 1800, the USS Pickering vanished while en route from Guadalupe to Delaware, claiming all 91 people on board. Fast forward to 1814, the USS Wasp, last reported in the Caribbean, disappeared along with its 140 crew members. So we're over 220 people already. A decade later, in 1924, the USS Wildcat embarked on a journey from Cuba to Tompkins Island. 14 people were lost at sea. In 1840, the Rosalie was abandoned. The Rosalie's fate remains a puzzle. No one has any idea what ever happened to anyone on that ship. And then in 1881, the 210-foot-long Ellen Austin ship was passing through the middle of the Bermuda Triangle from London to New York when the captain of the ship, Captain Bake, this is really interesting. His name was Captain Bake. He saw an unidentified small ship traveling next to them. The captain tried to make contact with the boat for 2 days, but no response was received. Then he and his crew stepped on the sailboat only to find that there was no sign of humans. The ship was completely loaded with supplies. So the captain decided to bring the abandoned ship to shore with them. For that, he sent a paid crew to bring the ship to land. Suddenly, a storm struck and the paths of both ships got separated. The ship got lost. After the incident, Captain Bake tried to find the ship for days. One day, he finally saw it sailing mysteriously by again. And through his telescope, he again tried to bring it to land by sending a paid crew once again. So he sent another crew because the crew was missing again.
Yeah.
And the second crew suffered the same fate. Later, they told the owner of the Ellen Austin, and after hearing that, he literally just sold the company.
Yeah. I'd be like, okay, done.
In 1918, the Cyclops, which was nearly 550 feet long, which is double what the last boat was, with a crew of 306 people and around 11,000 tons of manganese aboard. She had been sailing successfully since 1910, so for 8 years. Traveling between the Baltic Sea, the Caribbean, and Mexico, and assisting with moving coal around the world and helping refugees. In 1917, when America entered World War I, the Cyclops became a key Navy asset, transporting troops and coal to fuel other ships around the world. In March of 1918, the ship was given a new cargo, tons and tons of dense manganese ore used in steelmaking. She left Brazil loaded with the brittle metal, then voyaged to Barbados to resupply for the long journey home to Baltimore. The last known message from the ship said simply, "Weather fair, all well." But on the 9-day journey, something went awry, and no one from the ship was ever heard or seen again, vanishing without even an SOS. And then in 1921, on January 31st, the Carol A. Deering, a 5-masted schooner under the command of Captain W.E. Wormel, was discovered grounded and deserted at Diamond Shoals, North Carolina. In 1925, the SS Cotopaxi, which had departed Charleston, South Carolina, bound for Havana, Cuba, 2 days later, issued a distress call on December 1st, reporting its sinking. It was declared overdue on December 31st. In 1985, an unidentified shipwreck found off St. Augustine, Florida, was later confirmed in 2020 to be the remains of that ship, the SS Cotopaxi. In 1941, the USS Protus was lost at sea with all 58 crew members during heavy seas, departing from St. Thomas in the Virgin Islands on November 23rd, carrying cargo, it succumbed to the harsh conditions. The following month, the USS Nereus was also transporting the same kind of cargo, left from St. Thomas and met a similar fate, losing all 61 crew members on board on December 10th. In 1945, on July 10th, Thomas Arthur Gardner, along with 11 other crew members, went missing at sea aboard a U.S. Navy patrol seaplane in the Bermuda Triangle, departing Naval Air Station Banana River, Florida at 7:07 on July 9th, 1945, for a radar training flight to the Bahamas. Their last radio contact occurred at 1:16 a.m. July 10th near Providence Island with coordinates. Following this communication, they vanished without a trace. An extensive 10-day search involving surface and air efforts included a carrier sweep, and nothing was ever found. Now, these are planes now. In 1945, December 5th saw the loss of Flight 19, consisting of 5 Avengers along with 14 airmen. Later the same day, BPM Mariner, bus number 59225, with 13 airmen aboard, also vanished while searching for Flight 19. On July 3rd, 1947, a Douglas C-54 crashed off the Florida coast due to the pilot's loss of control and turbulence, which I don't know what that has to do, but it's another ship, another plane. In 1948, January 30th marked the disappearance of a Star Tiger carrying 6 crew members and 27 passengers on its journey from Santa Maria Airport to Kinley Field, Bermuda. In 1948, December 28, witnessed the loss of a Douglas DC-3, which had 3 crew members and 36 passengers en route from San Juan, Puerto Rico to Miami, Florida. In 1949, on July 17, Star Ariel vanished with 7 crew members and 13 passengers during a flight from Kinley Field, Bermuda to Kingston Airport, Jamaica. In 1958, a 43-foot racing yacht vanished in a hurricane between Key West and Miami, along with the owner, Harvey Conover, and 4 others. In 1963, the SS Marine Sulphur Queen, carrying 39 crewmen and a cargo of 15,000 tons of sulfur, departed Beaumont, Texas on February 2nd. Last heard from on February 4th amidst rough seas, northerly winds, the vessel was declared missing 2 days later. The U.S. Coast Guard concluded that the ship was unfit and shouldn't have embarked on the journey to begin with. Coast Guard searchers found a solitary life jacket bobbing in a calm sea 40 miles southwest of the tanker's last known position. Another sign of the missing tanker or her 39 crew has never been found. How many people are we up to now?
I don't know. Too many to keep track of, I think.
In 1965, on June 9th, a USAAF C-119 flying boxcar from the 440th Troop Carrier Wing disappeared en route between Florida and Grand Turk Island. The final communication from the aircraft was received just north of Crooked Island, Bahamas, approximately 177 miles from Grand Turk Island. Debris from the plane was discovered on June 18th, scattered along the beach of Gold Rock near the coastal northern coast of Acklands Island. In 1965, December 6th saw the loss of Private Eurocope F01 along with its pilot and one passenger while traveling from Fort Lauderdale to the Grand Bahamas Island. And then in 1967, on December 22nd, Miami hotel owner and yachtsman Dan Burak, accompanied by a priest named Patrick Horgan, set sail on his cabin cruiser, the Witchcraft. They ventured 1 mile off the Miami coastline to view Christmas lights. Burak later radioed the Coast Guard, reporting that the boat's propeller had struck something underwater and required towing. When the Coast Guard arrived at the location, neither men were found and neither was a witchcraft. Despite extensive search efforts spanning hundreds of square miles of oceans, the boats and the occupants have still never been found. In 2015, in late July, two 14-year-olds embarked on a fishing expedition in their 19-foot boat. Despite an extensive search covering 15,000 square nautical miles by the Coast Guard, their vessel was discovered a year later off the coast of Bermuda, but the boys remain missing. In 2015, on October 1st, the SS El Faro, carrying a crew of 33, sank off the coast of the Bahamas within the infamous triangle after encountering Hurricane Joaquin. Search teams located the wreckage of the vessel 15,000 feet beneath the surface. In 2017, February 23rd, Turkish Airlines flight TK-183, an Airbus, was diverting its course from Havana, Cuba to Washington Dulles Airport due to mechanical and electrical issues encountered over the triangle. On May 15th, a private MU-2B aircraft disappeared from radar and lost radio contact with air traffic controllers in Miami while flying at 24,000 feet. The wreckage of the plane was discovered later.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
So that's just, I don't even think that's a full list. I think that's just a partial list of all the. So now the theories, some fanciful, some scientific, none really explain all. So I'm going to start with like kind of the craziest one first. Charles Burless was among the first to suggest a connection between the mysteries of the Bermuda Triangle and the legendary lost city of Atlantis. This theory has since garnered attention from others who propose that that Atlantis technology, including purported crystal energies, remain active on the ocean floor, leading to mechanical failures in vessels and aircraft transferring the area. However, a significant drawback to this hypothesis, obviously, is the lack of concrete evidence that Atlantis ever existed in the first place. What are your thoughts about that? Like, Atlantis, they, like, all this, the legends and the stories about Atlantis was the use of crystals. So they're basically saying that there's still crystals on the bottom of the ocean that are causing things.
Like, that's the reason for the Bermuda Triangle, is the crystals?
Yeah, that's what they're saying. You're not, okay. So then my biggest fear one, rogue waves. Rogue waves are massive and unpredictable swells of water that can tower twice as high as surrounding waves, meaning normal high waves, and then there's a rogue one, much larger and more damaging than the others. Just the thought of that. Researchers from the University of Southampton in England propose that the Bermuda Triangle's unique combination of ocean currents and weather patterns make it a hotspot for rogue wave formation. These waves, some potentially reaching 100 feet in height, could pose a serious threat to ships navigating the area. However, while rogue waves could explain maritime disasters, they fail to account for the air stuff, for the air.
That's what waves. I was going to say while you were talking.
Yeah, so.
Like, that makes sense, I guess, for ships.
But how does that affect planes?
Right.
The next one is magnetic forces. The Bermuda Triangle is one of the few places on Earth where compasses point to true north instead of magnetic north. This anomaly, known as declination, results in navigational discrepancies that experienced pilots and sailors must account for when charting their course. While magnetic forces may contribute to navigational challenges in the area, they don't fully explain the disappearance of vessels and aircraft. So, like, yes, can it cause... This is a definite theory that can cause like compasses not to work and any kind of navigational stuff to work properly. But it doesn't account for why they go missing completely. Right. Why they're never found again, right?
Yeah.
And additionally, advancements in navigation technology have largely mitigated the risks associated with magnetic anomalies. So that really isn't the answer, right? The next is methane bubbles. Researchers from the Arctic University of Norway discovered massive craters at the bottom of the Barents Sea, hypothesizing that they were formed by sudden methane releases from deep underwater deposits. While it's an intriguing thought, it's unclear how this phenomenon correlates with the Bermuda Triangle. Methane bubbles could potentially disrupt buoyancy and navigation, but definite more research is needed to determine the role in maritime and aviation incidents within the area. This is an interesting one. Wormholes.
That freaks me out.
Does that freak you out? The yeah. Waves kind of freak me out still. Pilot Bruce Gernon claims to have experienced teleportation through a mysterious fog while flying over the Bermuda Triangle. He alleges that his aircraft jumped ahead 100 miles in an instant, suggesting the existence of wormholes or portals to other dimensions. Despite Gernon's account, which he documented in a book, the scientific community remains skeptical, obviously, as no empirical evidence supports the existence of wormholes in the Bermuda Triangle or elsewhere. So the wormholes go with another theory, which we're going to get to in a minute. The next one is water spouts. Water spouts are oceanic tornadoes characterized by spinning columns of moist air over warm water. Given the Bermuda Triangle's location in a region prone to severe weather phenomena, some speculate that water spouts could be responsible for maritime and aviation disasters. These powerful vortex with wind speeds of up to 125 miles an hour could potentially capsize ships and disrupt flight paths. However, further research is needed to determine the extent of water spouts' influence in the Bermuda Triangle's mysteries. So I'm going to go back to the one theory that you might make you happy. So this last theory suggests that extraterrestrial beings utilize, so this one's aliens, utilize the Bermuda Triangle as a portal to Earth, where they conduct experiments on humans and acquire advanced technology from lost vessels. However, there's no credible evidence, obviously, to support the existence of extraterrestrial activity in the area. So the alien hypothesis remains firmly entrenched in the realm of science fiction and conspiracy theories, lacking empirical evidence. And yes, but, and I said, yeah, but, there are a lot of stories of UFO sightings in the area. And then I found this article taken from the Greek Merchant, I think it's called the Greek Merchant Mariner. And it was written, I think, in 1994. And it's called the Mariner Recalls Bermuda Triangle UFO Sighting. Greek merchant marine radio operator, his name's Polycarpus Bentassas, had an indescribably strange and unforgettable experience while working aboard a vessel in 1978 off of Bermuda when, in the course of his normal duties, he observed the following strange events unfold. As he recalls, we started from Cuba bound for Algiers with an average speed of 11 miles. Shortly before 12 noon local time, the officers of the ship's bridge began to notice that it appeared to them the ship was sailing at an unusually high speed, but the instrument showed a constant speed of 10 to 11 nautical miles per hour. Some of my colleagues initially hypothesized maybe I had made a mistake in timing since I was the radio operator. But that didn't happen, and the ship continued to tear through the waves like a dolphin. At 12 noon, he continued, the captain asked the second officer to put a sailor at the wheel since he himself did not feel well. He could not lift his arms, and his body felt heavy all over. Soon, the electrician arrived on the bridge after coming up from the engine room, upset that he noticed that all the clocks on the boat had gone ahead 2 full hours. Additionally, the helmsman was unable to hold a steady course. The compass, which was gyroscopic and shielded from electromagnetic fields, was turning like crazy. So he had to put it on autopilot, and we managed to maintain a steady course. The seasoned merchant mariner goes on to relate, but the strangest of all was something that happened a little after 5 p.m. The cook and I were playing backgammon in the smoking room when suddenly we looked back and saw to the left of the ship, the northwest side, just a few miles away, a large, white, unidentified flying object in the sky. Then it appeared two smaller flying objects to the west of the large one, and one of them was attached to it. experiments of Americans, I assumed. I left immediately and went to the bridge to ask, full of anguish, if someone else had seen the bizarre devices. No one had noticed. However, I was sure that something strange was happening with time and how we were affected by the acceleration of the movement. He explains, I looked at my watch and time had passed. I put the radio receiver on 500 gigahertz to fill in the calendar and heard Morse code, but it was unnaturally quick. I put out a time request signal to 15 megahertz, and which RWN, which is Radio Moscow, and heard the answering time signals too quickly, so fast that I thought it was the station's fault. I jumped from my chair, opened the window of the chart room, and looked at the captain. I could use the Morse system, but noticed that my hands could handle even or five letters per minute, and it took about 2 minutes to just walk to the chair for the transmitter. Upset, I told the captain, my hands are not working, and they're not listening to me. He replied that nobody should touch the ship's autopilot. He relates that the next day, the crew was discussing the strange events that had happened to everyone. A sailor complained that once he lit a cigarette, he didn't have enough time to smoke because it burned immediately. The second mate, who served on the midnight to 4 a.m. shift, had gone to his cabin and was brushing his teeth before he went to bed. He suddenly cried out that time had just changed to 23:40, so he didn't have time to sleep. Like, he was brushing his teeth and all of a sudden it was hours and hours later. All of us felt bradycardia, an abnormally low, an abnormally slow heartbeat, as well as hyperthermia during that time. For years now, he explained to interviewers, I have tried to explain these curious occurrences. I believe that the bradycardia, reduced crew reflexes, are due to what's called the gravitational time dilation. Gravitational waves emitted by the acceleration of the UFO for takeoff and other movements caused a biochemical change in the metabolism of the human body. This process occurs according to theories of Niels Bohr and Albert Einstein. Whatever actually happened, it was experienced by more than one person that strange day in the Atlantic. Time will tell if any more evidence will ever be found of the bizarre happenings in the region. Information for this article was previously published in the Greek Daily Press on August 17, 1995. And then recently, in August of 2023, a TikTok video went viral for a video of what looks like a UFO flying near the Bermuda Aquarium and Zoo. Plus, there's hundreds of purported UFO sightings in Cuba.
I didn't know that.
Like hundreds, like too many to even count. But I feel like this guy's explanation of what happened, like that their bodies weren't working and that time seemed to like fly by, but their bodies slow down. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It kind of goes with the whole wormhole theory this other guy has, right? Yeah. What did he say? And I want to go back to what he said again. He said, he alleged, like, I want to repeat it again. He alleged that his aircraft jumped ahead 100 miles in an instant, which would explain the, like, different dimension, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. What are your thoughts? What I find weird is that this is so bizarre. I can't find reports of ships or planes going missing between 1980 and 2015. And then they spiked again in 2015.
Yeah, that's weird.
Why were there none between 1980 and 2015?
I don't know.
What do you think it is? Are you still afraid of the Bermuda Triangle, or this didn't help at all?
No, this didn't help at all. No. I still think it's weird. I don't get it.
I don't think it's just a magnetic thing.
Do you think it's something supernatural?
I kind of do. I mean, that's why I'm afraid of it, I guess, is because there's no valid
explanation
for the Bermuda Triangle or for all the things that have happened there. There's too many things that have happened, but the NOAA insists that there are planes and ships that go missing in other busy. I mean, is it just because it's busy there? That, but why would everyone pick the Bermuda Triangle? Why aren't we talking about another triangle? Why are we not talking about another rectangle of the ocean? Like, why is it just the Bermuda Triangle?
Yeah.
And we're still talking about it. Started in the 1800s, keeping track of what happened in the Bermuda Triangle. So, final thoughts on Bermuda Triangle.
It's weird. It's real. People go missing there.
So many theories exist about the Bermuda Triangle. Some whisper of magnetic anomaly capable of whisking vessels and aircrafts into alternate dimensions, leaving them lost in time and space. Could the disappearances, crashes, and sinkings be mere consequences of human error, treacherous weather, or the wrath of Mother Nature herself? Or do darker forces lurk beneath the surface?
Thank you for listening to this episode of Haunting History Podcast. We love hearing from you, so be sure to like, follow, and comment on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Haunting History Podcast. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you listen to all your favorites.
Visit our website at hauntinghistorypodcast.com for more information on each episode, links to our Patreon page, and all of our social media platforms.
Until next time, I'm Kat.
I'm Haley.
Remember, the living are far scarier than any ghost.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.